The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. It is Tuesday, July 20th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our little show here. The next 60 minutes of news talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Coming to you live and direct from beautiful Potland, Oregon, home of the 2010 Normal National Conference and Rolla J Studios. And joining me here in the studio, the engineer, our pirate, Ganja John.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, it's no longer the maestro.
It's no longer the maestro. It's the ganja pirate.
I guess you could be a pirate maestro.
Pirate maestro.
That could be. Yeah, that also work. Joining us from our studios in Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Carrie. Well, I'll tell you, the comments are coming in on a couple of posts that I've put out up on the Normal website on California's Prop 19. This is the initiative to legalize cannabis in the state of California for all adults 21 and over, even the healthy ones. And I encourage everyone to check out the Normal front page, normal.org. There's a ton of comments, mostly positive. I do get a few comments from people that I call them the I gots mine crowd, that are worried that somehow Prop 19 would overturn Prop 215 and all the medical patients would suddenly lose a whole bunch of rights. It's not true. You can check out my word-for-word analysis up at the Normal website. I did want to mention one comment that just came in before airtime. I love this one from Matt. It's the last comment on the page right now. It says, everything I have seen about these people that are opposing Prop 19, everything that I have seen about these is a smokescreen that basically amounts to the pot dealer lifestyle is about to end. And to that, I, as a daily pot smoker of 10 years, say good riddance. Yeah, ding, we have a winner here. He goes on to say, there are good dealers too, but we all know that guy, you know, the one Franco portrayed in Pineapple Express, that's a very real type. And those are the ones who least want to see pot in stores because then they might have to actually act professional.
Put on jeans instead of sweatpants.
Yeah, something like that.
And I know that guy.
Yeah,
I've
always said this too, that it's not the fear that the corporations are going to take over and they're going to spike the weed and make it all awful. It's the fear that these guys will have to, you know, get jobs.
Yeah, real I can't jobs. Make money for my grandma's house anymore.
Yeah, applications and wearing nice clothes and fitting a time schedule. That's what they're really afraid
Pumping
of.
Pumping gas.
Anyway, check it all out. It's up at the normal.org website. And let's go on with the show. Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to cover a federal agent who's stepping down from his post, and it's pretty much a case of don't let the door hit you on the way out. We're also going to go to Australia and look at their political process down there and the struggle of a pro-marijuana party. And there's a couple of health studies that are out this week and last week. One I'm going to cover today and another one I'm going to cover tomorrow, and it has to do with cannabis users and health.
All right. Excellent. We'll take a look at that tomorrow and later on today as well. Also, about tomorrow, I want to warn folks, because I know all of you look forward to our Wednesdays with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch will not be in. The doctor is out tomorrow. He's got some important family stuff he has to take care of. So we'll have another doctor to be announced to join us on our rapid-fire question and answer segment that we call Cannabis Science. Also coming up on today's show, we have Electric Tuesday for our daily Toker Tunes at 20 after the hour. Sarah from Boston is going to bring us a great new electronica tune for us to listen to right then. And at 30 after the hour, we're going to go and talk to the cannabis community. This time we're talking to Austin, Texas documentary filmmaker Bob Ray, who's touring the West with his newest documentary. He'll tell us all about it and the premiere dates and the different towns that it will be coming to. And at 45 after, the California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner, who sits down for an interview with the legendary Ask Ed, Ed Rosenthal himself, grower extraordinaire, interviewed at the end of our show. So stick around. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that. But finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Normal Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles from my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic earrings and troubles too.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A new study has been released by the National Institute of Health. It takes a look at the data of emergency room visits. The purpose of the study was to look at drug users who seek services in emergency departments and other acute care settings instead of reaching out to community-based drug treatment programs. The National Institute of Health was studying the prevalence and correlation of drug-related emergency room visits. They used data from a national epidemiologic study on alcohol and related conditions that included over 43,000 U.S. residents. What they found was that the prevalence of emergency room drug-related visits was much different for people who use different substances. People with heroin and inhalant dependence have the highest rates of emergency room visits, where people with marijuana dependence have the lowest. The results of the study will be used to try and link community drug treatment programs with tools to prevent subsequent emergency room visits by their participants. If you consider this study with a study that looked at the unusually high number of cannabis users in court-recommended treatment, it seems that cannabis users come out on top of the list again of the easiest patients to treat.
Yeah, and this also goes along with what we always hear coming out from the prohibitionists. They like to cite a statistic from DAWN, which is the Drug Abuse Warning Network, which supposedly keeps track of who goes to the emergency room and what drugs they have in their system when they go there. And the prohibitionists always say, marijuana is rapidly increasing in the number of emergency room admissions, or marijuana contributes to X percent of emergency room admissions. And what this all has to do with is just whether or not you tested positive for cannabis when you were in the emergency room. It has nothing to do with whether or not cannabis sent you to the emergency room, whether you got in a wreck because you were high, or whether you had a severe psychotic reaction to pot or something like that. No, that's not what DAWN is tracking. DAWN's just tracking whether or not you test positive. And considering that 10% of American adults use cannabis annually and 6% of them use cannabis monthly, and cannabis can show up on these pee tests for a long time following use, in up to 100 days in chronic users, it shows nothing. These statistics from DAWN show nothing. These statistics that Carrie's giving us from the National Institutes of Health are people who actually went to the emergency room because of pot. They said to themselves, oh, I've got a real problem with pot. I got to go to the ER. they are the lowest rate of any drug users to go to the emergency room. So it once again just shows that the use of cannabis itself is not what's impelling people to seek treatment, to seek emergency rooms. It is the prohibition of cannabis that does this. It's the prohibition of cannabis that forces cannabis users who get caught to go to drug court, where drug courts sentence you to rehab. A full 37% of the people that go to drug rehab for cannabis have not used cannabis at all in the past 30 days. Amazing, huh? More than a third of the people in rehab for cannabis haven't used cannabis in a month. So much for having a real problem with cannabis. It's all about propping up the rehab industry, propping up these medical professionals that like to make an easy buck off of mandated treatment.
An Australian political party that boasts over 1,400 members has been shut out of the 2010 federal election process by an agonizing 4 days. The Nimbin-based Help End Marijuana Prohibition Party, or the Hemp Party, has worked for years to get party status and are now accusing their government of bureaucratic bungling and goalpost shifting to keep them out of the electoral process. The Hemp Party has been around for years, but in 2004, a new law went into effect in Australia that required small parties to re-register for party status. It has been an uphill battle for the Hemp Party ever since. The governing body of political parties, the Australian Electoral Commission, tentatively approved the group's application, pending a 30-day objection period. Australia holds national general elections any time within 3 years of the first meeting of a new parliament. The election process is triggered when the Prime Minister makes a request to the Governor General to dissolve parliament and set a date for the national election. Prime Minister Julia Gillard made the unexpected visit to the Governor General, Quinton Brice, on Saturday, only 4 days away from the Hemp Party finally being recognized. Hemp Party Secretary Graham Askey said that during the process, the AEC has lost documents, haven't replied to letters, and in one case waited 5 months to inform him of technical amendments required for the membership applications. Speaking to an Australian news outlet, Askey said, if they were in a private enterprise, they'd have gone broke by now. Due to the dilatory work practices of the AEC, the Hemp Party has now been denied the right to run under its own banner for the 2007 and now again the 2010 elections. He is asking for the refund of the $500 application fee since they haven't provided adequate services to the pro-marijuana party. He said in contrast to years of struggle with the AEC, the smaller Building Australia Party, a group of tradespeople, had their application fully processed in only 2 months. The silver lining of all this is that the group will be fully sanctioned before the next election is called.
Ah, yeah, foot dragging, goalpost shifting, anything the people in power that want to maintain the status quo can do to prevent us from talking, voting, and engaging the public on the issue of cannabis, well, they're going to do it. There's an old saying, and I subscribe to this quite heavily, that never attribute to malice that which can be attributed to incompetence. The idea here is don't be looking for bad guys and evil when it really could be people just messing up, you know, people that are incompetent. But in this case, where you have one political party getting its applications and processing done within a couple of months here and seemingly having no problems, and meanwhile another political party, they lose their paperwork, they're shuffling, there's problems getting them processed, that seems pretty obvious to me that there is some malice afoot here in the continent and country of Australia. Now I want to reach out to all of our Australian listeners out there. We do have quite a few. I've gotten a couple of comments on the blog from them to continue to fight this and join up with the Hemp Party. For those of you who don't know much about Australia, Nimbin, Australia is kind of the countercultural center of Australia. You might think of it like we think of San Francisco or Austin, Texas or New York City. But the rest of the country of Australia is pretty conservative and pretty against cannabis here. Even though cannabis use in Australia is second only to the United States in the prevalence of use of cannabis by adults. Also, the folks in New Zealand nearby, we get a lot of listeners from New Zealand, about 8% of our web traffic. The second greatest country worth of web traffic comes from New Zealand. So to all of our friends down under, keep fighting the good fight, and we here at Normal will be here to help.
And the special agent in charge of Denver's Drug Enforcement Administration, Jeffrey D. Sweeten, is no friend to the medical marijuana movement. He has been an outspoken critic of the Colorado law that supports medical marijuana. Now, activists in the state of Colorado are cheering the federal agent's upcoming departure. Sweeten told the Denver Post that he understands that he has become the face of anti-legalization efforts in Colorado, but says that his exit won't end the fight against marijuana. Sweeten goes on to say that DEA agents are sworn to uphold the Constitution and that marijuana remains illegal under federal law. He reminds those cheering his exit from the post that the next person will have the same mission. During his 8-year tenure, he received criticism for his handling of the Chris Barkowitz case, a man who was arrested after showing his medical marijuana grow operation in a television interview. The DEA maintains that Barkowitz was arrested for selling more plants than he had patients and for operating within 1,000 feet of a school. Sweeten likes to point out that the DEA in Colorado isn't raiding dispensaries. Mason Tavert, the director of SAFER, Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation, a marijuana advocacy group, says that he is glad Sweeten is leaving, but agrees with him that his moving won't change the DEA's mission, and admits that his replacement will probably be just as adamant about going after marijuana, regardless of statistics that prove it is safer than alcohol. Sweeten is claiming that the medical marijuana proponents threatened his life and the lives of his family while in Colorado. His leaving is due to a promotion within the ranks of the DEA. Sweeten will be leaving Colorado to run the DEA Training Center in Quintaco, Virginia. His new job begins in September, and the DEA has yet to name a replacement.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm giggling a little bit, Carrie, because it's Quantico.
So, I know. I don't know what I can't pronounce anything today.
I think Quintaco is close to Mindianapolis, I think.
But thank you, Russ.
You're welcome. Just give me a little trouble here. As far as DEA agent Sweeten, that is a good point, is that, you know, the next guy who comes in is going to be as bad or possibly worse than Sweeten was. So, you know, in with the old, out with the new. It's not going to change much as far as the DEA and how they deal with Colorado and their rapidly increasing dispensary systems. To the cannabis consumers out there, though, it doesn't do us any favors. It doesn't do us any good with the public to be calling for these people's heads, you know, to be threatening their families and to be threatening their lives. Only serves to illustrate the stereotypes that a lot of people already believe about us cannabis consumers, that we're anarchists, that we're crazy, that we have no control, that we're violent. Don't do that. If you're listening here, remember that this is a political struggle, and take the words of Martin Luther King Jr. and his example that he set in the civil rights movement, right? I know that it's frustrating. I know, as a cannabis consumer for 20 years, that fear you feel, even when you just see a cop car on the road as you drive by, that fear in the pit of your stomach, I still feel it today. And I'm a medical marijuana caregiver, right? So, I, you know, people without that protection in all these other even more conservative states than Oregon still feel that fear. But don't personalize it. Don't personalize it as Sweeten or this guy who's keeping you down, right? It's the prohibition that's keeping you down. These people are following orders. They're just doing their job at this point. Now, that's no excuse for their cruelty toward us. But we need to turn the other cheek. During the civil rights movement of the 1960s, there were a lot of people in the black community. You look toward Malcolm X, for example, who were preaching, you know, by any means possible and violent overthrow and black power. That's not what got civil rights passed. It was Martin Luther King telling people to turn the other cheek. And this is people that were suffering from, you know, having fire hoses turned on them, having their churches bombed, having dogs sicked on them. And still, they turned the other cheek. They reached out to with compassion to people that were not only their friends and allies, but also to their enemies. This is the mantle we need to take and understand. This is a civil rights struggle, okay? This isn't anarchism. This isn't F the man. This is a civil rights struggle, and it's our job to educate our enemies, to educate the people who believe those stereotypes, and to provide a positive example. It's like Rick Steves, the PBS travel writer, always says. He's a normal advisory committee member, and he always says, be the kind of pothead that people can't help but like, right? Be the responsible one, be the professional one, be the one who sets the example and shows people, hey, we're really not that different. We're a whole lot like people who drink beer. We're a whole lot like people that don't do any substances. We're a whole lot like every other American out there. Sure, there's some of us that fit that kind of stoner stereotype, but there's people that fit the drunk stereotype, and there's people that don't do substances all that fit the idiot stereotype. We just need to be responsible and provide a positive public example. So don't be calling for the heads of the DEA or the ONDCP or anything like that. Talk to them, educate them, and turn the other cheek.
Good stuff, Russ. I like that.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, in private, you know, you feel free to, you know.
Whitey wears many faces.
Curse him out. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners. If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
Do you really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
The healing marijuana,
come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana,
hear me, say.
Free the marijuana.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sara Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and we're trying to hook up with Sara on the phone, but unfortunately the numbers aren't responding, so we'll just go ahead with the introduction for this next tune. It's Electric Tuesday, which is the best of our electronica and new age, trance music, experimental, and so on. And today's song is a song from a group called Hidden Outside the Box. Oh, Sarah's here?
Yeah, she
is. Oh, Sara. Sara, welcome to the show. Sorry, we're just getting started.
Yeah, I heard that. How are you?
Doing good. Tell us about this song, Hidden Outside the Box.
Will do. Hidden Outside the Box is a solo project of Seb Satchel, a young man whom I found it difficult to find online, apart from geeky console gaming and highly technical audiovisual forum posts. This was deeply charming, particularly given that he states quite openly a film about his life would be called Harry Potter and the MacBook Pro. The elusive Seb runs a business doing production, composition, and voiceovers from his base in Wales' capital city of Cardiff. Outside of his work and his own creative endeavors, Seb makes remixes and mashups. These regularly invite comparisons to his personal musical influences of Daft Punk and Calvin Harris. I Want You Back tips the hat to those artists. an incredibly catchy future British top 40 dance hit and classic club anthem. Its basic yet solid sound includes a beat made for dancing, great vocals and vocalizer effects, hooktastic melody, and clean production values. Even though upbeat, the forlorn lyrics of this song recall the feeling of being sans green without the ability to procure more, something which I hope none of you are experiencing over these hot summer days. As Deb suggests, roll some up and go to the beach. Discover Hidden Outside the Box and Mr. Satchel on MySpace and Facebook via the links on the stash. When this track makes it big, remember that you heard it here first on Electric Tuesday.
All right, and Sarah brought it to you. Remember that, too. This is Electric Tuesday's Daily Toker Tune, Hidden Outside the Box, I Want You Back. It'll be available for download today after 3 o'clock p.m. Check out stash.normal.org for the download. Thanks, Sarah.
I miss you laughing and the softness of your touch. It seems to me that I'm never gonna get this right. It seems to me that I want you back so much. I want you back.
Song. Thank you, Sarah, for bringing that to us. The download will be available after 3 at stash.normal.org. Check it out.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Time to check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Today, Tuesday, July 20th, there's a weekly medicating event in Hazel Park, Michigan at the Phoenix Cafe. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, the Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club will be meeting at Charlie's Place in Kalamazoo. They meet every other Tuesday. Check out KalamazooAreaCompassionClub.org. And Hemp TV will be on the air in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call 505-880-0000. 1-800-926-0666 for tickets to the show. On Wednesday, July 21st, there's a protest against recent DEA raids in Saginaw, Michigan at 111 South Michigan Avenue in Saginaw, Michigan. Check that out on our calendar for more information. Cincinnati is having their Fountain Square Reggae Night in Cincinnati, Ohio. Come enjoy some reggae music Wednesday night from 7 to 9 at Fountain Square. Miami Valley Normal will be there. There are a regional chapter in that area. You can check their website at mvnormal.org. Email info@mvnormal.org and check them out. They'll be playing a game of Weeds, the card game, and trying to educate people at the Fountain Square Reggae Night. Also on Wednesday, Benzie County Normal in Benzonia, Michigan will be having their meeting. Call Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496 for information. The Grand Traverse Compassion Connection is meeting in Traverse City, Michigan. Check out gtcompassioncenter.org for details. And also on Wednesday, Tulsa Normal in Tulsa, Oklahoma will be having their meeting at the Hardesty Regional Library. Again, Tulsa Normal at TulsaNormal.org. In personal details, I want to tell you that this Saturday, July 24th, I'm appearing at the 5th Annual Netroots Nation Convention. This is the annual convention of the liberal blogosphere. Daily Kos, Huffington Post, Talking Points, Memo, and so many more will be there. Fire Dog Lake, and so on. I'll be presenting on a panel along with speakers from LEAP and the Drug Policy Alliance on marijuana policy and politics. I'll be featuring some of my PowerPoint presentation slides from some of my other presentations, but once again, delivering it to the huge audience at the Netroots Nation Convention this Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada. If I can get the Wi-Fi to work, we will stream that live here at Normal Show Live, so check that out. For more information, check out netrootsnation.org for all the details. And for all of the phone numbers, email addresses, websites, and more that we've mentioned on this part of the show, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
The Normal PAC, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
That's fine. Just community of work.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty, but we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experiences of our cannabis community.
Welcome back, everyone. 33 after the hour, and unfortunately, we're not able to raise Bob Ray, the documentary filmmaker from Austin, on the telephone. He's out in the Mountain Time Zone right now, so maybe he got confused about the times, but we will have him back on a later show. This does give me the opportunity to expand a little bit on a rant that I took off on yesterday regarding California's Prop 19. This is the proposition to legalize the cultivation and use and possession of cannabis for all adults above the age of 21 in the state of California. Now, when it comes to this initiative, we always knew there was going to be a fight to get this passed, and that we'd have to be fighting the entrenched mainstream politicians, people like Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein, who have come out against this, all the California gubernatorial candidates, Meg Whitman, Jerry Brown, and others, they've come out against it. We knew we were going to have to fight law enforcement, religious groups, parents groups, all sorts of people that are generally against cannabis smoking. But the most obnoxious part of the opposition are those that I call the I gots mine contingent. The people in California who are enamored with Prop 215 and their dispensary system that they have there, and the dispensary owners and those who are invested in the status quo coming out against legalization of cannabis for healthy people. And it really, really burns me when I have to think about that, that we might, this is going to be a very close vote, folks, and that to think that we might lose it because some of our own cannabis consumers might vote against it, that's just appalling to me. Now, is Prop 19 perfect? No. There's a few things in it I don't like either. But what these people don't understand is that no bill is perfect. Nothing that you put out would get out there and have 100% of the support. But what this is a step toward the kind of legalization that we want. And you've got to make the first step. You got to walk before you can run. You got to crawl before you can walk. And this is the first legitimate, viable first step of real, true legalization that we've got in this country. So I wanted to do word-for-word analysis, and this is something I've got posted at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org, looking at some of the language of Prop 19 and some of the concerns some of the people have about it. First of all, right there in the title of the summary, it will change California law to legalize marijuana and allow it to be regulated and taxed. To legalize marijuana. What the Prop 215 people don't understand is they think it's legal already. It's not. Prop 215 did not make marijuana legal. It gave you an exemption from criminal prosecution if you're using it for medical use. In other words, you're guilty until proven patient. Now, that's going to end with Prop 19. Any adult over the age of 21 will be allowed to cultivate a 5x5 garden and possess an ounce outside of the home. Let me get into some of the details of this where people are getting a little confused with the language behind Prop 19 and what's going on here in the state of California. First of all, a lot of people are trying to scare Prop 215 patients into saying that, well, if you vote for Prop 19, you're going to go from what you have now, which is you can have a whole bunch of cannabis and you can plant a whole bunch of plants. They're going to take that away and make it so that you can only have an ounce and only grow in a 5x5. Well, first of all, in Prop 19, there are some purposes statements. And one of the purpose statements here, number 7, says, quote, ensure that if a city decides not to tax and regulate the sale of cannabis, that buying and selling cannabis within that city's limits remains illegal, but that the city's citizens still have the right to possess and consume small amounts, except as permitted under health and safety sections 11362.5 and 11362.7 through .9. Now, what that says, what they're saying there, is cities have the right to tax and regulate cannabis sales. But if they don't, they can't take away your right to your 5x5 personal garden and your 1 ounce outside the home, except if you have more rights than that under 11362.5, .7, and .9, which happen to be Prop 215 and SB 420. So what they're saying there is, if you're a Prop 215 patient, you are still permitted to have as much weed and grow as many plants as you've always been. Now, another argument that I'm hearing from some of these blogs out there is they're saying that Prop 19 will be interpreted by the California courts as superseding and amending Prop 215. They're saying, oh, if you legalize Prop 19, you'll only get a 5x5 and 1 ounce, and you will no longer have Prop 215. That's not at all the case. What they're pinning this on is on the number 6 purpose statement that says, provide easier, safer access for patients who need cannabis for medical purposes. And they're saying, aha, see, the number 6 purpose has a medical purpose. Therefore, the courts will interpret this as being a medical bill that replaces the previous medical bill. To which I have to ask them, if number 6 repeals Prop 215, how can number 7 give an exception to Prop 215 patients? There wouldn't be a Prop 215 to give them an exception for. So how can number 6 get rid of a law that number 7 cites? And in fact, number 8, if we go down farther, also cites this, that says that if the city decides it does want to tax and regulate the buying and selling of cannabis, that a strictly controlled legal system is implemented to oversee and regulate cultivation, distribution, and sales, and that the city will have control over how much and how the cannabis can be bought and sold, except as permitted under health and safety sections 11.362.5.7 and .9. So in other words, if your city decides that it's cool to allow adults to buy and sell cannabis, that city can strictly control how much you buy, how it's produced, unless you're a Prop 215 patient. Again, that exception. You can still buy and sell as much as you're buying and selling in the dispensaries right now. Okay, so it doesn't get rid of Prop 215 at all. Now, there's a few other things. Let me go down a little bit further in the law here, because a lot of people are concerned about the whole thing with minors here. And this is a section further on down the law that amends the California... Oh, by the way, here's a nice interesting point in the definitions here. According to the definitions, 1 ounce means 28.5 grams, which is kind of like declaring pi equal to 3, because an ounce is really 24.349531 grams. So we get an extra 150 milligrams of pot for every ounce. That's kind of nice. But going down further here, this stuff about the minors. First of all, a lot of people are misunderstanding and thinking that Prop 19 creates a new crime if you give or smoke pot around minors. No. Those crimes currently exist. The way that this is worded is that they're amending Section 11361, and Parts A and B already exist, right? So it is already a crime if you're 18 and over and you give weed to someone 14 years of age or younger. It's already a crime. What this is adding is Section C, which reads, every person 21 years of age or over who knowingly furnishes, administers, or gives, or offers to furnish, administer, or give any marijuana to a person aged 18 but younger than 21 shall be punished by imprisonment in the county jail for a period of up to 6 months and fined up to $1,000 for each offense. Now, this is where people have a problem, because they're saying if you're 21 and you hand a joint to someone who's 20, you're going to jail for 6 months and a $1,000 fine. And they're saying right now, if you're 21 and you hand a joint to someone who's 20, you don't go to jail, and it's just a ticket. It's just like getting your regular decriminalized marijuana ticket, so long as it's less than an ounce. But what this is doing with Section C is it's equating the use or the giving of marijuana to people under the age of 21 but over the age of 18, it's equating that to alcohol laws. Now, in the alcohol laws of the state of California, you can be punished with a misdemeanor and a fine of up to $1,000 if you give weed to someone 18 to 20. Now, there is no mandatory jail time. It's a mandatory 24 hours of community service, unless you give that joint to someone 18 to 20, and that person 18 to 20 either dies, suffers severe bodily harm, or causes the death or severe bodily harm to someone else. Then you get a year in jail. So really what they're doing is they're making, so if you hand that joint to someone 18, 20, they're equating you with someone who hands alcohol to a minor, and then that minor gets into serious trouble with it. In my opinion, that's too steep. I agree with the naysayers on Prop 19 who's saying the jail time here is too steep. However, we've got to think about this rationally. Is that enough to get rid of the entire Prop 19? Is it enough to say, well, this small niche of cannabis consumers who like to hang out with young people and smoke weed, they might go to jail, so let's keep what we've got now where anybody 21 and over can go to jail for weed. Let's keep what we've got right now where we continue to arrest people, where we continue to give them tickets in the case of an ounce or less, and continue to saddle them with a criminal conviction. Let's keep doing that, so we can protect the older folks who like to smoke with teenagers. That doesn't seem very rational to me. This is the kind of thinking where people say, well, the lesser of two evils is still evil. Yeah, that's the ethical maturity of an 8-year-old. Come on, folks. You're mature enough to understand that given two possibilities, one might be better than the other. You should go for the one that's better than the other. Now, and in other sections in here that people are concerned about is their fear that with Prop 215, they can have a whole bunch of weed on them, right? You can possess as much as your doctor says is cool. And they're trying to fool people into saying, well, if you pass 19, you can only have an ounce. Well, the way that works is that you can only have an ounce away from your home, right? On your person. Tucked into Prop 19 here is a section that says that you are allowed to keep the results of your 5x5 harvest. And it does not set a limit on that. So in your 5x5 garden, if you can grow a pound or 2 pounds of weed, you can keep that all in your house.
And there is no limit on how high that garden can be, folks.
Exactly. 5x5 is the square footage. If you've got an open loft, you know, you could grow that thing 15 feet high if you
easy.
Want.
You could do stacks.
I don't know if stacks would work because each stack
would have
5x5 worth of dirt. Yeah. So that might not work.
That
but
might not work.
You put that 5x5 worth of dirt on the ground floor and you've got an open loft and you can grow up to 15 feet high. You can get a lot of product off that plant.
You sure can.
All right. We'll continue to talk about Prop 19 throughout the rest of the oncoming shows at Normal Show Live. We've got all sorts of details. Check out the post at stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to discuss it with me, if you got any questions or concerns, send me an email, stash@normal.org. And I agree with you, chatters. I think the age for everything should be 18. But we live in the real world, and nobody's going to vote for having high school kids get marijuana.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do
Hi, this is Chief Mayor, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
And we are pleased to bring back to the California Marijuana Report the guru of ganja, Ask Ed Rosenthal. Ed will be joining us every week here on the California Marijuana Report to tell us who the new drug war criminal of the week. This will be an elected official, a district attorney, a local sheriff or police department, any member of the law enforcement community that continues to ruin people for marijuana. Ed, welcome back to the show. Tell me, who's the California Marijuana Report's drug war criminal of the week?
It's Attorney General candidate Steve Cooley.
Well, well. If it isn't Steve Cooley, the District Attorney of Los Angeles, who wants to shut down every medical marijuana dispensary in the state. Ed Rosenthal, tell me about this cheap suit named Steve Cooley.
He's publicly denounced marijuana legalization, saying, "We're going to send a message and make it resoundingly clear that these sort of foolish and dangerous initiatives that endanger our society and diminish it are going to be rejected. The legalizers, who are well-entrenched, sometimes very well-funded, who are behind this, George Soros and his ilk, must be sent a message. Enough is enough. Keep your dangerous laws off of California's law books. Stop endangering us." This guy is a crazy kook. You know that?
Now, that's an understatement, Ed. This crazy kook, Cooley, he bills himself as a moderate Republican. This guy sounds right of Meg Whitman.
I think that the Republican Party right now should be considered sort of like a rubber stamp commie organization. And what I mean by that is, if you recall, during the Soviet Union, or perhaps you don't, but when the Soviet Union was around, the the leaders would make a proposal and then the parliament would rubber stamp it. And these people, if they want to think for themselves and, for instance, vote for a bill that the party doesn't like, they'll be not only ostracized, but they'll be taken down and taken out of the party. This is like a communist rubber stamp party here. There is no such thing as a moderate Republican in California. These people are crazy kooks who should actually go under psychological analysis to see whether they're too authoritarian to be to hold an office.
Now, this bully in the district attorney's office, who is our new drug war criminal of the week here on the California Marijuana Report, that's Republican district attorney candidate Steve Cooley. Now, he's running against Democrat Kamala Harris, who currently is the San Francisco district attorney, and she has an abysmal record on marijuana. She's gone on record as saying she opposes marijuana legalization. She has prosecuted people in San Francisco for brownies and has filed charges against others for marijuana possession and for growing. This woman is not a friend of marijuana, Ed. How did Harris lose out to Cooley as this week's drug war criminal of the week?
Well, he's a man with no common sense and no compassion. He has been medically proven not to have a heart. If Cooley had his way, medical patients would be denied the right to their medicine and left suffering because he's been trying to close down all of the dispensaries in Los Angeles and in Los Angeles County as well. The problem here is that this seemingly intelligent person is ignorant, and he misstates the facts. He's not capable of real leadership because he doesn't agree with truth and reality. You know, there are some common truths and commonly held realities, and he's not part of that. He's somewhere out far, far, far to the right. Californians shouldn't vote for Cooley. They shouldn't even think of voting for him. After they think of voting for him, they should immediately smoke a joint, and that will solve the problem. But this guy is outside the bounds not only of marijuana smokers, but outside the bounds of Californians as well, of all Californians.
And just look at this dirty drug war criminal Cooley's record in Los Angeles, Ed. Right now, he is prosecuting owners of medical marijuana dispensaries in that county. And according to attorney Allison Margolin, only offering felony plea deals for marijuana. How dare you, Republican candidate Steve Cooley, the Republican district attorney of Los Angeles, California? How dare you take the taxpayers of Los Angeles, California, how dare you take their tax money and flush it down the toilet because of your prosecution of so-called marijuana crimes? How dare you, Cooley? You cheap suit, it's time to wake up!
Yeah, he's, well, I wonder, you know, here in Oakland and in San Francisco, the cities are broke. And Los Angeles, the city is broke. And California is broke. And he's wasting time on marijuana while the gangs go free, while all these terrible things are happening. Here in Oakland, we have to lay off police. But, you know, I don't mind that. They were laying off about 10% of the police force and about 10% of the arrests for marijuana. So if they just stopped making arrests for marijuana, there'd be no difference in, you know, we'd see no difference in the police services, which are not that great.
And I'll tell you, Ed, you bring up the Oakland Police Department, and I know we're talking about Los Angeles and our dirty drug war criminal of the week, Steve Cooley, down there, the district attorney. But the Oakland Police, I feel very sorry for that organization. They have such potential to do the right thing in one of America's most beautiful cities, Oakland, California. But instead, as you said, they're holding press conferences when they find a so-called illegal grow house in the city of Oakland, and they're releasing statements saying that these grow houses are directly related to violent crime here.
here in Oakland, and not one dirty creep reporter has the nerve to ask them, do you have proof? They don't have any proof of that, and they put these lies out, and I am very disappointed that the Oakland Police Department has not followed the will of the people in this and made marijuana a low to no priority.
The marijuana law is a part of the health and safety code, and it seems to me that health comes first in that, and so I think that all medical marijuana should be regulated and controlled and totally under the jurisdiction, not of any part of the police department, but under the health department of the county of Alameda.
Well, we hope that day would come. I think that would be a great day here in the state of California to see Alameda lead the way, as it really has in many ways, Ed, on this marijuana issue. And, of course, you've been right there at the top of the heap, leading the way and being really a troubadour in this movement, Ed. Thank you so much for joining us here today on the California Marijuana Report. And let's send that dirty drug war criminal, Steve Cooley, out where he belongs, to the secondhand store to turn in his cheap suit. You drug war criminal, Steve Cooley, get him out of here, Ed. Get him out of here.
I got the bad news this morning. I think I'm going to have to leave.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Welcome back, 56 after the hour, and if you're a Los Angeles district attorney wearing a cheap suit, try the Men's Warehouse, the pro-pot Men's Warehouse. Loving the chatters out there. That's classic from Eric, isn't
it? That's George Zimmerman, I believe.
From the Men's Warehouse, big supporter of marijuana law reform. Hey, big thanks to Eric out there at California Marijuana Report for his reports every week. I did want to mention and plug Ed Rosenthal's new book, the Growing Marijuana, Grower's Handbook, Marijuana Grower's Handbook, Ed Rosenthal, right there. You can pick that up right now. This particular copy is very special, though. I will show you why. Right here, the foreword is written by Mr. Tommy Chong, and the foreword written by Tommy Chong. We've got Tommy Chong's autograph right here on the foreword of this copy of the book. The preface is written by Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal. We've got Keith Stropp's signature right there, little autograph on the book. And as soon as I can run into Ed Rosenthal, I don't know when the next time will be, but I'm sure I'll track him down. I'll get his autograph on this book, and then we're going to auction this on eBay to raise money for Normal Show Live. So that's, be thinking about that.
That's Oaksterdam University's textbook right there.
Yes, this is the textbook they're using in Oaksterdam, and I've got a copy. Ganja John's got a copy.
He sure does.
His isn't all signed like mine.
But it will be.
It will be. It will be. Oh, we're having some fun here at Normal Show Live. Just winding up the show. I want to remind everyone that if you're new to the show, we are here every day, weekdays, Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific time. You can catch us every day, except the days that we're not on. But we're almost always on Monday through Friday. Sometimes we do live remotes and stuff, so the schedule changes sometimes. But Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern. If you are the kind of person who prefers to listen to podcasts on your iPod or other MP3 device, check out our iTunes feed up on iTunes. Just put in Normal Daily Audio Stash. In fact, I think you can just put in Normal.
You can just put in Normal, yeah.
And you'll find that. So the Daily Audio Stash is all
also available at our Stash blog, stash.normal.org, where you can get downloads of every show, and you can get downloads of most of the music we play. There's a few of them we can't give you because of the artist's restrictions on the license, but most of them you can download. There's over 1,000 Toker tunes now, plenty of stuff to listen to, all very friendly, independent marijuana music for you. Also, check out marijuanamusicawards.com, where we get a lot of our music from, thanks to Token Tam down there in Australia. Been a good show. We'll be back tomorrow. Dr. Mitch will not be here. We'll have a special guest doctor answering your questions. For Cannabis Carry and Ganja John and everyone here at normal.org, thanks for checking out the show. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.